This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.
Preaching out of Song of Solomon this morning. So, you know, most people say, well, if you preach out of Song of Solomon, it means you're going to talk about dating. That's all that book's for. You know what? It's an excellent book on dating, but there's so much more. Say more. And what I want to talk to you is about the kiss of God. Now, you men out there, you know, you just think you're so macho, and you are, but you like to be kissed, and you like to kiss. It's just the way you're built, the way you're made. I want you to use some maturity this morning. The symbolism that I'm going to be talking about has to do with being kissed by God. We tend to think God is male. Let me tell you what, he is that. He also, if you understand anything about motherhood or women, how many of you know women are made in the image of God? So it all had to come from the Father. Hello. How many know we're made in God's image? Well, where'd he get that image? He is the living God. There are male and female aspects. He gave some to a female and some to a male. And so I'm going to be talking about being intimate. I'm going to be talking about and defining what the kiss of God means. I'm going to be talking about the breath of God, the touch of God, the word of God, the anointing of God, the power of God, the freedom of God. And it has to do with being touched by God and being intimate with God. So everybody said amen. Kissed by God, knowing and loving Jesus as we live a life of victory. I want to read in Song of Songs, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. This is from the Passion Translation, okay? The most amazing song of all by King Solomon, the Shulamite. Let him smother me with kisses, his spirit kiss divine. So kind are your caresses. I drink them in like the sweetest wine. Your presence releases a fragrance so pleasing. Over and over it's poured out. For your lovely name is flowing oil. No wonder the brides to be adore you. Draw me into your heart. We will run away together into the king's cloud-filled chamber. Okay. Now, I want to talk about just a couple things here. I'm going to exegete the scripture just a little bit. And therefore, I think, define what the kiss of God is. First of all, I want you to notice it talked about flowing oil. Flowing oil. The oil has to do with the Spirit of God. We'll define that further. The oil has to do with the sweet-smelling savor of God. We'll define that further. We'll talk about the Shulamite woman. The Shulamite woman represents us as the body of Christ, as the bride. We are likened unto the bride. Jesus is likened unto the bridegroom. Obviously, the bridegroom in this scripture is referencing Jesus, the Savior, and the bridegroom. How many of you know we're going to a marriage supper of the Lamb? And so we are likened unto the bride, and he is likened unto the bridegroom. Now, so then we also then have certain words, and I want to talk about them. First of all, it says, let him smother me with kisses, the Spirit kiss divine. Let him. To enter the doorway of Jesus' heart, we must begin by saying, let him. Everybody say, let him. We only bring him a yielded heart and must let him do the rest. You must let him do the rest. God's loving grace means that he will be enough for us. We can let him be everything to us. We don't begin by doing, but by yielding. Now, let me share this with you. You never, ever sought God before he sought you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God sought us first out. God loved us first. He loved me before I loved him. He is the seeker. He chases you. He is the one who is after you. Are you listening to me? When he draws you by his presence. He woos you. He loves you and is wanting relationship to that extent. He is the seeker. Now, that is so true in natural, and it's a marriage book on dating. It's a dating book about marriage, this book is, because, men, you need to be able to understand God will show you who your mate is. But then you are to seek her out. Ladies, you don't need to chase your mate, your future mate. God will show you to him and he will seek you. Doesn't mean you have to be coy and hard to get, although sometimes that works. You know, you just, the first guy who comes along and says, God told me you're my wife. You say, I'll talk to God about that. But you understand what I'm saying. God is the male aspect of this relationship in many ways, and he is seeking you in terms of the analogy of the bride and the bridegroom. So, you were never in the presence of God that he didn't invite you first. Now, I can seek him afterwards because I know he desires my presence. Somebody say amen. Oh, but he first loved me. He drew me. Now, let me share this with you. He will also draw you. I go to him. And so many times, and we'll see in this book that the bride is looking for the bridegroom. But the truth is that he sought me out first. And when you sense him drawing you into his presence, you need to be very aware. You need to be very concerned. You need to be very attentive to that because it's powerful, it's precious, and it's not to be ignored. Somebody say yes. Okay, so everybody say, let him. The kiss of God, the spirit kiss, is what made Adam, the man of clay, into a living expression of God. Now, the kiss of God, when we talk about the kiss of God, we're talking about face to face. We're talking about the word kiss. We're going to define what it means. But the word kiss is that his breath made man a living soul. Has anybody ever seen mouth-to-mouth resuscitation? Always looks bad unless it's my wife giving it. You know what I'm saying? But see, the truth is it's the breath of God. And when we think of God, how many of you know in Genesis says his breath made man a living soul? And God breathed on them. And he made Adam a living soul. The truth of the matter is he didn't just go like this. He didn't go. He got down face to face and God literally breathed into the mouth of Adam. Somebody say amen. His breath made man a living soul. The kiss of God is the breath of God. The kiss of God is his life. It's the life of God. The kiss of God is what gives you what he and only he had to give, eternal life, an eternal redemption, an eternal living, a future that is without him. When he made you alive, you became a living soul, an eternal soul. Whether you live for God or you don't live for God, you're an eternal spirit. Are you listening to me? You're going to live forever in one way or another, but that was a gift from heaven. Somebody say amen. So we begin to see then, you can see how that this analogy is working. It is the kiss of God. The kiss of God comes from the lips of God, and the face of God is the presence of God. The word face in the scripture means panim, and it means face, presence, light, countenance. And we are faced with God in the presence of God. He is the one who is seeking us, and he is able to give us the kiss of God. The kiss of God was given in Genesis. Dust and deity met when the maker kissed his spirit breath into Adam. Now, we understand that the kiss is also, we'll go on and define what it means. It also means breath. It means the breath of God. It means the word of God. The word of God is the kiss from the mouth of our beloved, breathing upon us the awareness of his love, the awareness, the revelation of who he is. Does anybody remember when you first began to understand that he truly loves me? He truly does care about me. When a man finally gets to the place where he says, I need help. I need God. I need more than me. The Father is waiting. The Master is waiting. The Bridegroom is waiting. The Spirit of God is waiting. And then the macho crap, forgive me, goes out the door. There's no stronger man than King David. And King David said, Lord, bathe me with your kisses. Lord, I desire your presence. And he was the mightiest warrior in the scripture. Somebody say amen. We need to understand that the ultimate manhood is one that is kissed by God and desires the kiss of God. Somebody say amen. So kind are your caresses, the scripture says. or your breasts, giving breasts to a man? What is this? This is a freaky book. No, he is the El Shaddai. He is the many-breasted one. What does that mean? It says, so kind are your caresses. It recalls the many-breasted one of El Shaddai, or your so kind are your loves, okay? This speaks of his saving love, his keeping love, his forgiving love, his embracing love. The love of Jesus cannot be singular. It is so infinite and so vast and so powerful. It must be described as plural. Somebody say amen. So kind are your caresses. Hallelujah. I drink them like the sweetest wine. In the Hebrew, the word for kisses and the word for take a drink of wine is nearly the same. Now, I got some of your attention on that. I just love the kisses of God. A Chardonnay, please. Hallelujah. What is it about wine that's romantic? Is it romantic? There's a lot of things that are good, but if you take them in excess, it can be bad. Somebody say amen. Okay, now I never drank any wine because I think I'd be a drunk. I think wine would do me like cheeseburgers. If one is good, more is better. And then about the third cheeseburger, you don't know whether you're eating cheeseburger or hash. It says, oh, no, I'm trying to reduplicate that first bite, you know. Oh, it's so good. I haven't eaten all day. Oh, I'm about the fifth bite. I'm going, what is this? Hello? In the Hebrew, the word for kisses and the word for take a drink of wine is nearly the same. The implication is that God's lovers or lovers of God will be drunk with love. Hallelujah. With the intoxicating kisses and breath of his mouth. Again, the kisses means breath. The breath means Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit means oil. The Holy Spirit oil means presence. The word of God is likened unto the kisses of God. How many of you need more of every one of those things? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ronald Reagan had one of the most important speeches he made, except for the Berlin Wall speech when he said, tear down this wall, Mr. Gorbachev. He made one of the most impressive speeches he ever made is when the Challenger tragedy took place. And he says, and they went up and escaped the surly chains of earth and kissed the face of God. Anybody remember that? Kiss the, it's obviously y'all don't remember that because you go, what? But kiss the face of God. There's something powerful about kissing the face of heaven. And that is what we're talking about here. It says, in essence, he says, the Hebrew word for kiss is nashak, which can also mean to equip or to arm for battle, okay? It literally means we need his breath, his kiss, his presence, his word, which are all one and the same, to become equipped warriors for him. Now, let me go skip ahead. I think the Lord had me prepare this for some of the men who are here who think, my God, I can't wait to get out of here. He's talking about kissing a male. Okay, look, here we go. Song of Solomon 1:4, draw me into your heart. We will run away together into the king's cloud-filled chamber. That's verse 4, cloud-filled chamber. The Hebrew text literally means the king's chamber inside of a chamber. The king's chamber inside of the chamber. Now, what this is likened unto is going into the bedroom on your wedding night, going into the bedroom to be intimate with your mate. And when you go into the bedroom or the chamber, when it's defined in the Hebrew, it means a chamber within a chamber. This is likened unto the holy place in the tabernacle. And it is likened to, in the holy place is the bedroom. But when you go into the holy of holies, it is the inner chamber. I need to tell you something. When you go into the holy place, you can sense God. But when you go into the holy of holies, you become intimate with him. How many of you know what I'm talking about? When you're in the holy of holies, it's where the literal presence of God dwelt in the Old Testament. And the good news, and the priests went in. He had to be prepared. He had to be made clean. He had to be holy. He was literally anointed with oil, which we're going to talk about. But when he went in there, if he wasn't prepared, if it wasn't right, if it wasn't pure, if it wasn't holy, he was literally struck dead by the powerful, holy presence of God. Why would God do this? Because he's letting us know, when you come into my presence and you become intimate with me, when you come to heaven with me forevermore, there'll be no sickness, there'll be no sin, there'll be no death, there'll be no, are you hearing me today? There'll be no rape, there'll be no incest, there'll be no depression. I'm telling you, God is bringing you to a place where there is no sin. Is anybody happy that we're going to a place where sin is no more? And so he went into the Holy of Holies. He went into the inner chamber. The good news today is this. Today, we don't have to have a rope tied around our waist because Jesus died and the veil in the temple separating the holy place from the inner place of the Holy of Holies has been rent in two. I can come boldly into the presence of the Holy of Holies. I have no fear. My beloved waits for me and he has the kiss of heaven. He has the breath of God. He has the power of God. The kiss of God, as I said, also represents being equipped for battle, equipped for war. So draw me, what has it got to do with war? Draw me into your heart. We will run away together into the King's cloud-filled Holy of Holies. This points us to the presence of God. Say presence of God. In the Holy of Holies, I am intimate with the presence of God. Are you hearing me? In his inner chamber, in his inner presence, is where all power resides. Say power. Say power for war. Say power for conquering. Say power for dominion. Say power for overcoming. Overcoming temptation, overcoming sickness, overcoming disease, overcoming depression. Somebody say power resides in the holy place, in the intimate place with God. You must be aware that you must be a lover of God before you can be a warrior for God. If you try to be a warrior before you're a lover, you'll die in the war. Because you'll go equipped only in your own strength, only in your own power, only in your own willpower, only in your own abilities. God gave you gifts. But when you're in the Holy of Holies, not only will your gifts be used in the right way, his way, but you'll be favored like you'll be favored nowhere else. Many people are born with gifts that God gave, and they misuse and abuse them. How many of you know what I'm talking about? How many times do we have to see talented people in the movies and in music destroy their lives before we realize just because you have gifts does not mean that you're headed in the right direction? We need the kiss of God on those gifts. Somebody say amen. We need the word of God on those gifts. We need the presence of God on those gifts. We need the favor of God on those gifts. Oh, my beloved, he floods me with kisses. And when he kisses me, he enables me. He empowers me. He strengthens me. And he gives me strength that no man can have. When you're on top of that building, Mike, you better have the power and the protection of God with you. Because your number's coming up someday, just like my dad's did. My dad walked on top of buildings all of his life. He was a contractor. I've literally seen my dad be two stories up, just going over on the studs and just high-popping like that. And I'm sitting there peeing my pants. What am I saying? No matter how big a man you are, no matter how strong you are, you're going to need the protection and the power of Christ. Somebody say amen. We need the favor of God. Many have been the men who've been greatly talented, greatly enabled, greatly physically capable, greatly gifted, and they're broke because they can't get a job because they need the touch of the master's favor. If you try to be a warrior before you're a lover, you'll die in the war because love is your strength. The Hebrew word for kiss is nashak, which I said, which can also mean to equip. Or to arm for battle. We need his kiss, his breath, his presence to become equipped warriors for him. I love you, Lord. You are my strength. I love you, Lord. You are my strength. Who said that? David did. King David. The one who whipped thousands of people. Who destroyed thousands of warriors. Who killed the giant when he was but a lad. Why? Because he'd been in the presence of God. He could have taken all the warrior's equipment he needed. He was the one who was picked off all seven of his brothers. He was the one, Eliab, his oldest brother, he was the one who was prepared. He was the epitome of naturally prepared. He was in line. He was career oriented. He had the muscles. He had the build. He had the physique. He had the authority. But when the time for the blessing of God and the anointing to God flow on him, the priest couldn't get the oil to come out. Listen, God will never pour his oil and his power and his spirit and his breath and his favor out on somebody who's not committed to being a lover of him. And David came. He says, is this all? You know, I love the way Sammy said it. He says, I won't pour the oil of God out and anoint a new king on this. He didn't say them. He says this. Why? Because God is offended when we come to him in our own strength and abilities. What you're doing is saying, I don't need you. The one who breathed into you, the one who was intimate enough with you to give you life when you were just a piece of clay and dust and dirt. But he says, do you have another? He says, yes, I've got this. He's not much. He's a little ruddy looking guy out in the field. What's he doing? He's taking care of sheep. What's he doing? He's playing a harp. Oh, that sounds strong. He was worshiping God out in the field. And the presence of God came upon him. And the presence of God began to speak to him because he was actually loving on God. And when you love God, he loves back. Somebody say yes. And he began to kiss David. He began to kiss him with wisdom. He began to kiss him with anointing. He began to kiss him with power. He began to kiss him with courage. He began to kiss him with songs. The Song of Solomon. He began to kiss him until the point where he was taking care of another man's sheep. He literally says, this is where God's placed me, and I'm going to use everything God's given me. And listen, there's nothing better than you being placed wherever God puts you and you using the gifts he already gave you, because he'll take you from a shepherd's field into the place where you'll kill giants and rule kingdoms. To men and women who are not afraid to say, kiss me, Lord. Touch me, Lord. Breathe on me, Lord. Oh, somebody say amen. When he came there, the oil poured out on him. Why? Because he had seen that when the power of God came upon him and he was keeping his father's sheep and the lion and the bear came, the anointing, say the anointing, the presence of God, the favor of God, the power of God, the anointing of God came upon him and he ripped the lion and the bear to shreds. How many of you'd like to rip depression to shreds? How many of you'd like to rip poverty to shreds? How many of you like to rip cancer apart to where it has no power for you and your children? Hallelujah. Say, kiss me, God. Hallelujah. 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 Is this all right? In his inner chamber, in his inner presence, is where all power resides. I love you, Lord. You are my strength, King David said. That's why David was the warrior that he was, because he loved God. He was unashamedly in love with the master. He was a lover of God who was a killing warrior. Wow. Let's get it right. Strong men love deep. Say it with me. Again, please. Great warriors love God with all their soul, all their heart, all their might. Goliath, David didn't kill him because he hated Goliath. He killed Goliath because Goliath hated his God. Who are you to defy the armies of Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine who comes against the armies of the living God? Surely there is a living God. Don't go into war, people, until you've fallen in love with Jesus. Because love is always the greatest weapon in war. Hallelujah. 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 Song of Solomon. It's the Song of Songs. It's a picture of bridal union with Jesus. Jesus is the bridegroom, as I said. The Shulamite is a picture of the church, us, the ones who have first love, the daughters of Jerusalem that is spoken of, represent a kind of a part-time Christian who shows up from time to time and flirts, but never gets involved. There's nothing worse than a tease. Song of Songs, the best of the best, the greatest, the first love. The number one love. This is Jesus' song that he wrote over you and me. Verse 1, God initiates the romance. He draws us and he teaches us his love. As I said, he loves me first. He drew me and he ran after me. God seeks you. He chased us down. He followed us. Let him smother me with kisses, the scripture says. Someone who is truly in love is not satisfied with one kiss. Huh? Not satisfied with one kiss. I must have more. I told Karen that last night. I said, baby, I'm getting ready to study for hours and preach and go out there in front of all those people all by myself. Can you give me a kiss? She gave me a kiss. I said, I must have more. And she says, I'm going upstairs. I said, really? She says, to do my hair. It's because I'm over 40. Doesn't mean I'm dead. Amen? Amen? You know what's inside you right now? It don't quit. That ought to make you happy. Just because you're 25, when you're 65, it's just as strong. What are you talking about? If you don't know, I can't tell you. That's good news to all men everywhere. Amen? Amen? You women are going, oh, good. Hallelujah. Smother me with kisses. I need more than one. Lord, come to me and touch me with your presence over and over and over again. Being lovesick for Jesus means that you become an addict for him, for his person, for his presence, for his love, for his understanding, for his strength, for his peace. Does anybody need peace here? How many of you know that peace that passes all understanding is worth priceless? It's priceless. Hallelujah. Say, I must have more. It's difficult for God to kiss a moving target. Hello? I can't get her to stay still. Stand up, honey. The Bible says, be still and know that I'm God. She says, I know God. God's a personal friend of mine. You're not God. But you know what? When I kiss her, you've got to be face to face. But when I go to kiss her, she gives me the cheek. Now, I love cheek, but I'm not happy with just cheek. Usually, she turns her head because she don't want me to mess up her lipstick. Too bad. Mwah. No, that was no good. No. This is good. See, she won't sit down. I must have more. She says, you've had quite enough, Buster Brown. Give the first lady a hand, will you? Amen. Everybody say, you got lipstick on, boy. Take it off. No. You just wish you had some. I'm not ashamed of this lipstick. I like the taste of it even. Plastic tastes good when it comes from the right mouth, I'll tell you. That was ridiculous. Okay. Be still. Say, be still. And know. It's a good thing my kids weren't here. They'd all be gagging right now. I tell them, how do you think you got here, doofus? Jeez. You ought to be glad. Be still. It's hard to move a kiss. Hard to move a kissing target. It's hard to kiss a moving target. When his presence comes, you don't leave and you don't hurry out. You stay. I said, you stay. How long? Until his presence lifts. There's nothing like his presence. Absolutely nothing. I'd rather have his presence than all the fame and all the power and all of the provision. But the good news is I can have his presence and have all the fame and all the power and all his provision. The difference is he's directing my path. Don't come instantly. Neither did she. Gratification didn't come instantly. I had to woo her. I had to chase her. I had to treat her right. I had to deceive her. I mean, she saw right through me. Don't you think your Father and the Lord, your beloved, sees right through you? Honey, I'll always put you first, honey. I'll tell you what, anything you want. She goes, oh, that's sweet. And she knew better. But she loved me enough to marry me anyway. Because I was putting forth the effort. I'm saying, I'm teachable. I'm lovable. I'll do anything. I just need your company. To the point where we just, at 22 years old, when I was in Houston, Texas, and she was here in California, and she was working a job, and I was going to Bible school, we would just talk on the phone until we had no more money and no more words, and we just listened to each other breathe. And it was the most exciting thing. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? If you don't, you need to have a refresher course. Anybody remember what that was like? I don't care what we talk about. I just want to talk. I missed her so badly. You can have that with the Christ, where that you can't wait to go to where he's at, because there's nothing like his manifest presence, because it brings me peace. It brings me hope. It brings me joy when there is no joy. Say it. Smother me, Lord, with your presence, with your word, his revelated word, his revealed word. If you've got a word, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth. Out of the mouth. He kissed you with his mouth. Out of his mouth. When he kisses you with a revelation. When he kisses you with, yes, I'm the healer, but I'm telling you now, a word from my mouth to your, from my spirit to your, from your intimacy to my intimacy to yours, you're healed. And we know that's priceless. Lift your hands and thank him, because he has a word from heaven for every one of you. If you've got the time, he has a word from heaven. Hallelujah. 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 If you're going to kiss someone, you need to be face to face and be still. Be still and know that I am God. Ginosko, in the Greek, it means the word, it's the word for know. It means the most intimate relationship in life. It literally means to be one, as when Adam knew Eve. It is literally to know. That's how close God is willing to be. And God knew Adam as Adam knew Eve in the garden. What does it mean to know each other on that level? It means there's no fear. There's no shame. There's no lack. There's no hopelessness. There's no misunderstanding. There is freedom. I'm telling you, I'm striving to get to the place where there's nothing between me and my Father, me and my Master, me and my Beloved, me and the Holy Spirit. There's nothing separating us. Because if there is, it's not intimacy. He's willing. Say, he's willing. To where only God will do in that moment. So when God is in front of you, stay there. Eye to eye. Say, eye to eye. Cherish every moment. Because you become whatever you're looking at. Moses, you remember the story in Israel when the children of Israel were walking through the wilderness? The wilderness. That's a new one. Two or three of those have happened today. Walking through the wilderness, and snakes begin to bite them. Snakes had to be poisoned. They're poisonous because people were dying. The Lord told Moses, says, put up the image of the brazen serpent and lift it up. Lift it up. It represented in type, it represented the Christ on the cross. And he says, tell them, put their eyes on the cross, on the brazen serpent lifted up on the cross. He says, and tell them to focus on it. You know what faith it takes when you're being bitten? And people are dying and your friends laying over there dead, to keep your eyes on that serpent. But when they did, if you can focus on Jesus, you can see healing. You'll receive protection. You'll receive freedom from fear. I don't know about you, but I'm spending more time focusing on Jesus, because I want to be like him. And if I look on him, I'll become like him. Say, the eyes of Jesus are the eyes of fire. in Ezekiel, in the Revelation, into the parts of the Scripture. His eyes are as a fire. His eyes are as a fire. What is fire? The eyes of fire. If you stare into his eyes of fire, you will become fire. Not fervor, but fire. Fervor is different. Fervor is excitement. And I'm running around. I'm jumping up and down. I'm praising. I'm shouting. That's great, but it may not change you. May change you, but it may not change you. Even busyness, working for God, that's great. But that's not fire. That's fervor. Are you listening to me? Not just doing those things, but fire purifies. Fire goes to the depths of the soul. Fire will leave our past behind. They burned the old kings in the Old Testament in ancient times. Why did they do that? Because they didn't want pillagers and they didn't want robbers to come and dishonor the king's grave and steal him. And so what they did, they burned the bones and it went away to nothing because fire moves away and burns everything. Not in the reality, fire will not burn certain things, but God's fire will burn anything. Okay, thank you for your thunderous silence and excitement there. Listen to me. Fire will destroy God's fire. Say, God's fire will destroy what could not be destroyed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Fire burned the rocks when Elijah called down fire from heaven to destroy the prophets of Baal and the sacrifice. You remember the story? If my God be God, he'll come and burn the sacrifice. If your God be God, the God of Baal be your God, then he'll come and burn your sacrifice. They called on Baal all day and half the night. Nothing happened. You know what? You know what God will do when you're betwixt two opinions? You know what? You know why God told Elijah to build the fires, to build the sacrifices, and then destroy them by fire? And whose God will be God? Because he knew, and Elijah knew that the children of Israel were between two opinions. They were serving the gods that were not God, and they were trying to serve God who is God. And how many of you understand you can't be half in the world and half in the kingdom? And so he says, let's find out who God is. And so when they couldn't get any fire out of heaven, Elijah called fire down out of heaven. And here's the beauty of it. He built ditches around the sacrifice of the animals that were going to be sacrificed. And then he filled them with water. And then he filled it with rocks. And they said, well, what are you doing that for? The rocks aren't going to burn. He says, and you're putting water in the ditches? The fire, the water will put the fire out. Not when it's God's fire. Father, bring fire that destroys all things that are foreign to you. And make this your people and keep them clean. And fire came down out of heaven and it licked up the water and it destroyed the rocks. It literally disintegrated the rocks. So what am I saying? Fire burned the rocks. God's fire can remove what cannot be removed. God can move what cannot be moved. Somebody say amen. God can deliver what cannot be delivered. It will burn the skeletons in your closet. Somebody ought to be getting happy right now. It will leave no residue of the old life when you have your eyes looking into the eyes of fire. And fire comes and purifies you, prepares you for your ministry, your family, your mate, your job, your destiny. And they'll say, you can't do that. I know what you used to be. And you'll say, no, the fire of God has removed all of that. Oh, somebody stand up and praise him because of what he's already done. The fire of God has removed all dross, all sin, all shame, all residue of any life that didn't honor him. Oh, and if God has called you clean, no man can call you unclean. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now let's praise him right now. This is the time to praise him for his fire, for his love, for the kiss of God, for the anointing that destroys yokes and removes burdens. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is anybody hungry and needy of the fire of God today? When you stare into his face, receive that holy kiss. Receive that presence. Receive that breath. His breath makes everything clean. Makes everything possible. I don't know about you. I want him to breathe on me. I want his presence. You say, you're just weird. No, I'm not. He blew on this place and opened up these doors and put beams in this building and paid $100,000 debt we didn't know we had, $90,000 debt we didn't know we had. We were 6 months into this lease, on a one-year lease, and we hadn't spent a day in here. But God breathed. God blew his breath. Kiss the face of his people. And we kiss the face of God. I'm telling you, this morning, there have been people that were dying, but God kissed them, and they're whole, and the cancer's gone. I'm telling you this morning, I'm hungry to kiss the face of God. Is anybody hungry to kiss the face of God? Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. For your love, my beloved, is better than wine. The very movement of the Holy Spirit is represented by wine. Your love, Lord, is better than any power. Any wine that I've known. Your love, your presence, your word is better than when you healed me, than when you saved me, than when you filled me before. It's still better. I must have more. The wine represents the anointing. The wine represents the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the anointing. I drink them in your kisses like the sweetest wine. Presence, word, visitation, kisses, they bring the anointing. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. I don't have time to preach on the anointing, but if the Lord allows me, I will next week. The high priest, when he went into that Holy of Holies, they had to anoint him with oil. I love it. Got oil? Open it for me, please. This is what we do. We anoint them with oil. Smell that? Smell that? Smell that? It's beautiful. Smell that. Smell that, my friend. Is that beautiful? Smell that. They took 6 quarts of this. 6 quarts. We touched them. Put a drop. Priest who was going into the holy place and the Holy of Holies, they put 6 quarts of perfumed oil, ointment, on him. Psalm 133, remember? Aaron, they poured it over his head, and it rolled down his face and his beard and on his vestments and on his robes down to his sandals. 6 quarts. It's like putting 6 quarts of oil that you put in your car, pouring it on him. Everybody say, he was drenched. Oh. He says, when you come into my holy place, he says, when I get through with you and I pour my oil on you, the oil that represents my kingdom, represents the blood of my life, represents all that I died to give you. He says, when you leave, people are going to smell you for miles. When Aaron got out of that tent, he walked home to his tent, and everywhere he went, people inside their tents by the thousands, because there were millions of people in Israel in the wilderness, they said, what's that smell? What's that smell? What's that smell? And they came out of their tents, and they said, oh, it's the priest. He's been here. Have you ever been in an elevator? And when you got in the elevator, it was empty, but you knew someone had been there because you could smell the perfume. And you know what else I love? When you are drenched in His presence, in His word, being kissed by God again and again and again, you draw favor and you draw people. They come out to find you. When you walk in, they say, something's different about you. I don't know what it is, but what is it about you? Everybody say, the anointing, the kiss of God makes the difference. When he walked, literally, when he walked home, in his footprints, when he left them, oil was in his footprints. Everywhere I go, I want the oil of God's presence and power to leave a trail behind me, to where that when they step where I've stepped, they get what I got, the anointing. You say, well, that's good for you. You're a preacher. No, 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 no. This anointing brings favor in the marketplace. I said, this anointing brings favor in your business. Everywhere you go, people are drawn to you. They say, you know what? You've got more qualifications than he does, than she does, but I'm choosing her. Well, why? That ain't fair. No, you know what? But I just got a feeling. I don't know what it is about it. I know what it is. I said, I know. Say, I know what it is. It's the favor of God. It's the anointing of God. It's the presence of God. And it'll draw people to you. It'll draw people to you. There's benefit. I don't want to say that. There's benefit. There's benefits that come by being intimate with God. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. There's more I want to talk about, but I don't have time. But I have time for His presence. If you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus, you want His presence in your life. On the count of three, I'm gonna ask you to raise your hand. I'm gonna pray a prayer of faith and forgiveness right where you sit with you. And when you receive Jesus, literally, the presence of God will be kissed into your spirit, spirit to spirit. And the Holy Spirit will live inside your human spirit. God is a spirit. You're an eternal spirit. When He comes, He washes, He cleanses, and you become a new creation. That's why old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And His presence will go with you everywhere you go. Are you ready? On the count of three. One, two. Say, well, I'm not clean. No, you come just as you are. He'll make you clean. Three. Let me see your hand. Anybody here? I see your hand and yours and yours and yours. Anybody else? Yes, yes. Anybody else? Yes. Hallelujah. Anybody in the back? Let me see your hand. Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hallelujah. Let's pray this prayer. Father, everybody, Father, I'm ready to receive Jesus as my Savior, as my Lord, as my bridegroom. I seek you because you sought me. You've given everything for me. Now I come into the chamber. I'm ready to be yours and you mine. Teach me your ways. Bring your love, your favor. I'm ready. I'm yours, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.